Brian Burkhart, welcome to the program.
Oh, thanks for having me.
So how far are you and your team in gathering this information for the database? How complete is it?
Well, we think we're about 46%. We're right around 9,500 incidents, and we believe it'll get over just slightly over 20,000 by the time we're finished. We go back to 2,000.
Why 2,000 specifically?
Just, it seemed sort of complete, I don't know, beginning of the millennium. If I knew then what I know now, I wouldn't have gone back to 2000. There was no cloud. The internet was a different thing. I mean, as we're researching older cases, we might find a clue that there was somebody killed by law enforcement, but we can't get the media part of it. And more practically, many states, for example, Texas doesn't require law enforcement agencies to keep their documentation going back 15 years. Usually it's about 7. There are some states where it's 3. So we can't get it through the internet and we can't get it through public records requests. So there's going to be some that fall off. And since we don't have the records, it makes it look like the records are increasing, even though that's not necessarily true. They may be, but we won't be able to say, you know, what truly happened back in 2000.
What other barriers do you face in getting this information?
You know, it's always time and money. It takes time to research these. I do have a lot of people who either volunteer or work on a paid basis doing it, but it just same problem you'd have with any kind of news gathering. It's time.
Are law enforcement agencies being pretty forthcoming?
It runs the gamut. There are law enforcement agencies that absolutely do not care what the law is regarding public records, so they can be harder. There are other, like, federal agencies that know what the law is, so they know how to kind of manipulate what you get or how easy it is to get stuff. Yeah, some law enforcement agencies, they just immediately provide it. They provide more than you ask for, and it usually takes less time when they just give you everything than having to go through this whole rigmarole of redefining your request.
And you personally, so you've reviewed what, thousands of cases?
Like 9,500.
Out of that, are there any that really, I mean, this is awful, upsetting information that you're fact-checking every single day of people dying with interactions with the police? I mean, are there one or two that really just like haunt you?
Okay, so it's the most depressing hobby you can ever imagine. I can't think of anything worse to do with my time. Honestly, I'm not exaggerating when I say that. I mean, the ones that bother me more are these things that seem just impossible, and yet a grand jury will buy it and not probe any further.
It's using a death where the explanation of the death seems impossible.
Yeah, like, you know, they're in the back of the police car and handcuffed, but they end up with a bullet in their face, which to me, it just seems really hard to imagine that a jury wouldn't look at that.
What other trends are you seeing as you look through this data? What are you learning from it?
A lot of my issues with what we gather is about how the media presents these things. So if you want to track things like race, I think in about 50% of the time, the press does not report the race of the person who was killed or the race of the person who did the killing. We don't track the law enforcement officers. We just track the people who get killed. But about 50% of the time, you can't tell what race they are. So you can't make honest assessments about how much effect race has. But you can look over states and you can see that different states have different rates of minority people being killed. You can look at jurisdictions and see that different jurisdictions have different rates of mentally ill people being killed. I mean, I think we were the first to report what a huge percentage of mentally ill people are killed by law enforcement. And now it's almost common knowledge that, you know, it's between 25 and 30% of people killed by police are either mentally ill or on substances. So I think the high numbers and the reasons they change is related to things like training. Other things that we notice is that some states, for example, the state of New York, which has 20 million people, we have 442 people have been killed since the year 2000. And for the state of Florida, which also has 20 million people, we have 1,065. So it's like 2.5 times the rate of people killed in Florida as in New York State. And what's the reason for that? In some cases, I feel like it's differences in laws regarding police chases. For example, you see a lot of people killed during police chases. And I don't mean the person who's running, and often it's not the officer. It's somebody innocent who gets caught up in the chase and gets killed. That doesn't happen in states where they don't allow them to chase for a traffic violation. So all that is a policy or a procedure that one jurisdiction can look at another and say, oh, you're getting better outcomes. We want better outcomes. Let's change our laws to reflect what gets the best outcomes, which is kind of the point of the whole thing anyway.
Yeah, let's talk more about that. The point of this huge effort. What do you hope comes out of this database?
Really, it's just that. I want people to be able to compare the number of killings across regions and across time so they can determine the best outcomes for their own communities. Since this data didn't exist before, neither law enforcement nor politicians nor citizens could look and determine what the best procedures are. And now, as the database develops, we're seeing changes already. We're seeing changes in how law enforcement deals with these sort of situations.
And Brian, you also have another special database in the works. It's about undocumented immigrants who have died during encounters with police. Tell me about that project.
Encuentros Mortales is a Spanish language version of this, but we focus on undocumented immigrants who are killed by law enforcement. We focused on the border, but then kind of widened our lens. I think we're at about 100 incidents now, which doesn't sound like much compared to 9,000, but it's already the world's largest database of foreign nationals killed on U.S. soil. And we've gotten some good response with it, not so much from the people we're trying to reach with the crowd sourcing part of it, but from national media. We had a crowdfunding campaign that used that as kind of our linchpin, and it was successful. We raised over $70,000. It's coming along.
Brian Burkhart, thanks for joining me.
My pleasure. Thanks for having me.
Brian Burkhart is publisher for the Reno News and Review, and he's president of the Fatal Encounters database, which you can find at fatalencounters.org. For Reno Public Radio News, I'm Michelle Bliss.